Yo, yo, what's going on, big dogs? Welcome into another episode of Adams Plus One. This episode features Tyler Nelson. Tyler is an insurance agent with Country Financial. He's been with Country Financial for 3 years. Tyler is my personal insurance agent, and I wanted to bring him on the podcast to discuss what got him into becoming an insurance agent, describe Country Financial and their business to people who may not know about Country Financial, and also just give advice to consumers when they're dealing with insurance agents, kind of the low-hanging fruit that you want to know when you're looking to get coverage, depending on, you know, what you own and what would be best for you. As always, if you enjoy this episode, please give it a share. Let's dive in. I want to say you went to ISU. You were a Cardinal, right?
No, I went to Illinois.
You went to Illinois? Oh, you're Fighting Illini.
Yep.
You don't have a master's degree, right?
I do.
Oh, you do?
All right.
Where'd you go to college? Give us a spiel.
There too. So I actually, my undergrad and my grad background is both Illinois, both in the recreation sport tourism management program.
Yeah.
So same program for my undergrad, same program for my master's.
Nice.
So my master's was totally online, so I never actually set foot on campus.
Were you working while you're getting your master's?
Yeah.
Where'd you work?
I was working for the city of Yorkville at that time.
Okay.
For their version of a park district. It was just under kind of like their city umbrella. So at that point in time, that was the path I was pursuing professionally, but kind of got to the point where I pivoted and then started doing the insurance and the investment stuff.
Yeah. Talk about what made you decide to study those exams and get into this insurance life.
I'd always kind of had an interest in it. Some people know this, other people don't. My dad has been with Country Financial the last 50 plus years. He's been an agent, he's been in management, and then he's been an agent again. So it's always kind of just an opportunity. I had an older brother that worked for Country for 6 or 9 months too out of college, just to kind of get his feet wet in the sales and insurance world. So I wouldn't really say I kind of fell back into it, but to some extent I kind of fell back into it. I knew there'd be some studying involved. I knew it would be something you have to put some time and some effort in, but I didn't feel overwhelmed doing it. I think kind of having somewhat of an academic background, felt really comfortable with it, and just went from there.
What are you licensed in? I know you have a 7? You don't have a 7. Maybe you do.
I do not have a 7. Okay. So on the insurance side, property, casualty, life, health. So think home, auto, business, life insurance, health insurance. And then for securities, so for securities for the normal person out there, that really means investments.
Yeah.
So Series 6 and 63. So I'm not a stockbroker. So I do more, mutual fund investing or variable life insurance policies.
Are you able to give advice and gain a commission off the advice you give with the 6 or the 63, you said?
I am, yes.
The 63 allows you to do that, right, I think?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a 6 or a 63.
One of the two, right? You get them both.
If anyone's out there, don't quote me exactly on that. But long story short, to answer your question, yes. So
going back, so you were at the park district, it looked like?
Yep.
If insurance didn't work out, when you went down this path, you get licensed up, you're at Country Financial. If it didn't work out, maybe in the first year, what would it have been? Would you have went back to the park district, you think? It's a hypothetical, looking back, but is there something else you think now? I know it. Maybe I would have tried something else. It's obviously working out, but what direction would you have went?
I probably would not gone back into the public sector park district route, just because the reason I left was just very time intensive. It's a lot of nights, a lot of weekends.
Yeah.
Rosie, my daughter now, she's almost 3. Tristan is 7 months old. So it was really kind of leaving a role where it was this really night and weekend intensive and just trying to get a little bit more business.
Yeah.
Business typical hours. So I think I probably would have went more
corporate America.
Sales route, corporate America, sales ops, business development. If it wouldn't have been with Country, try to find something with another company.
Nice.
So, back to your previous question. Sorry, I'm skipping around here.
Go for it.
On the licensing stuff, insurance business is primarily in Illinois. I'm also licensed in Wisconsin. I'm also licensed in Arizona and Colorado, mainly because I have some existing clients that may own some property there. So I'm not really actively prospecting there, but if I fall into something, you kind of fall into something. I also have my license in Mississippi for that same reason. And then I also have my license in Florida for that same reason.
That's actually brings up a great side question here, segue to if you met someone and they were like, oh man, I'd love to, you know, use you as my insurance person, yeah. But I'm in California and you're not licensed. How hard is it for you to get licensed to do work in California, for example?
So for me personally with country, I actually couldn't totally in general. If someone worked for like a different insurance carrier that had a little bit broader appetite, it could be super easy.
Where are you limited to with country? Like is there certain states you're not, they don't go to? Or?
Correct. So country is active in 19 states. There's other states that country is not active in that I can still obtain a license for that state specifically, and I can broker it out with this like a separate insurance company. Yeah. In that regards, I'm technically an insurance broker.
Yeah.
There's other agents, if they're like truly independent agents or if they just work for like a different carrier, they may have more flexibility than what I do. So kind of just depends on each person's individual situation.
So it looks like we're already kind of getting into where I wanted to go next, which is talking country.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of give me an example or I'll give you an example and you give me your answer here. So you're meeting with like a prospective client who's like 30 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they've never heard of country financial.
Mm-hmm.
How do you fill the gap? What's the message that you give that person to let them know like who you guys are at Country Financial and like what they can expect working with you?
Sure. So typically just kind of lead off with what I can do. I can really help everyone from an insurance perspective, truly a multi-line agent. So home, auto, life, if they own a business, commercial, if they farm, their farm. We can help them with their boats. We can help them with their toys. We can help them with their own individual health insurance. Most things we can do through country directly. Again, if I can broker something out, let's say if we want to, you know, broker out some health insurance, we can do that. Then also on the investment side, we can also help people with their investments. We can help people, you know, just reviewing their 401k allotments, or if they have a 401k, roll it over to an IRA.
Yeah.
If they want to start their own IRA, we can, like separate of like their workplace.
Yeah.
If they would want to do like some education funding for their kids or for their future kids through 529s, we can do that as well. The only thing we really can't do is tax planning. We don't do any tax planning. I know a little bit about enough taxes to give people some kind of general, here's some things to be aware of, but I for sure don't put myself out there as a tax planner or anything along those lines. If someone needs a referral, I have some people to refer them to. I think really a good way to kind of phrase it with people is, how can I help them to kind of help them get their financial house in order from an insurance and an investment standpoint, to make sure that, hey, if something ever happens to your house or your car, or if you're driving your car and if you're putting, you know, your own liability, let's make sure we have you in a good situation.
Right.
So I'd say kind of, you know, an insurance advisor, financial advisor, kind of all encompassing is kind of really a good way to say it. Country really doesn't advertise. Country's very heavy in Illinois. So most people that live in Illinois are somewhat aware of it. I think there's 1,000 to 1,500 agents in the state. So most people probably are aware of an agent. But most people don't know exactly what we do. They really are kind of surprised to find out we can do more of the investment work than what people really even realize. It's a really good company. From a risk perspective, it's a very conservative company, which is ultimately good for the clients, because our underwriters, kind of the corporate philosophy is there's a lot of businesses they don't want to take, a lot of maybe certain homes they don't want to take. But that means hopefully there's less claims, which means that hopefully the end result is year over year people's rates aren't going up as much.
Yeah.
And that there's a higher likelihood that they're happier with their claims, because there's going to be a better likelihood that their claims are getting resolved how they want them to.
Yeah. I can attest to, obviously, anyone listening will know that you are my insurance agent, and I come to you for a lot of these questions and have before in the past. I didn't know Country Financial before. Obviously, when I think of insurance, I think of State Farm or Geico, right? Like, just like the big names that you see on a commercial. And I know you guys probably have some commercials too. But something that, you know, you mentioned to me that this is something I wouldn't think about that I wanted to bring up. I forgot what we were talking about. This might have been back in August when we were talking about going back and forth about my like just covering my car, and you were like, hey, you know, does Katie drive your car often? Because it would just be smart to have her name on the on the policy or something along those lines. Do you remember that? We were going back and forth on
yeah,
that.
Like, yeah.
Talk about that, because that's something I would not have known. And then, of course, we just put her on there, put her information, and it just covers her if she's ever just driving my car.
Correct. So most new auto insurance policies now are getting very specific as far as drivers that are listed. Anyone that lives in an address that you really should have anyone that lives at your address listed as a driver. So a lot of companies are going the way that if you ever got into an accident and there's someone that's technically an undisclosed driver that lives with you, you'd have liability coverage for like hitting someone else. However, your own car would not have coverage through comprehensive and collision coverage. So you'll you may hear other like financial podcasts or insurance podcasts, or you hear like horror stories of someone who has like a $40,000 loan on their car. They didn't disclose that like their 17-year-old son was a driver on the policy. The kid totals the car and the insurance company doesn't pay out for the loan, and someone's stuck with like a $40,000 bill.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. So it's just kind of one of those things that just trying to be proactive with people. And it's also good, like, obviously we know each other.
Yeah.
But like all my other clients, I may not know them as well, but like just kind of having like a general understanding of like, I don't need to know who's living at your house and who's living at your house. I'm trying to make sure we have you protected.
Right.
If there's ever a claim that you're not like, oh my gosh, shoot, I don't have coverage for a scenario.
Yeah, no, I think you do a great job, which you represent Country Financial, when you're doing a great job of asking those extra questions. And obviously, yeah, it does help that we know each other. I would never think like that. And I think, you know, it just speaks high volumes of Country Financial in the business and kind of how they go about, you know, carrying themselves. So we're heading into summer. Is there any advice or reminders from your point of view that you would give anybody listening, you know, about insurance right now? Because I know, like, I get a monthly letter from you usually, right, to all your clients. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's going on? We're going into the winter. We're going into the summer, the spring, or, you know, whatever you're seeing out there. But going from we're in spring heading into summer, any advice that you'd give someone that's, you know, thinking about insurance right now?
Yeah, I would say right now, if you make sure your toys are covered. Your boats, some people, they may just have like their boats on storage only. So like if it's stolen or if it went up in a fire, but once it's going to hit the water,
you got to re-up that.
Yeah. You know, make sure you have your liability coverage. Same thing with a lot of people, if they had like a third car or like a fun car, just make sure you have your liability coverage, you have your collision coverage. Same thing if your ATVs, your side-by-sides. I had a call from a client last Sunday that scrambled. Oh my gosh, I need it. I want to take my Corvette out. Can we get this covered? Yes, you're fine. We'll get it added on. Please do this the Friday before. Please don't call me at Sunday. When it was like a 70 degree day, I understand you totally want to do it, but just making sure that people just have that. The reason we do that is because the rest of the year, it's to save you money on premium. Because a lot of times people don't want to take that car out, or they're not going to take the boat out when it's snow or when it's salt because they don't want to ruin the car.
Right.
But it's just remembering that. As far as just kind of like general other things, not a whole lot. Insurance is kind of always the same year round. I would say as a kind of a general guide of people, you're going to get door knocked more during the summer when the nicer's out. Whether if your area has been hit by hail, there's been bad storms, just kind of expect that. But that's really it. Nothing else
for
really
sure
other than that.
I was thinking about a case study before we got together because I was out back in the backyard doing leaves on a Saturday. Look here, Tyler. It's Saturday. We're in April.
Mm-hmm.
There's no football. I got no excuses. So when Katie wants me to do yard work or something, I'm toast. So I'm back there and I'm thinking as I'm raking leaves, just hating my life. I was like, man, what advice would Tyler give to someone who's like a case study like this? They're 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They just got out of college, master's degree, right? They lived on campus, but now they're moving into their first apartment, right?
Mm-hmm.
By themselves. They live in they were going to school in the city, but now they live in an apartment, maybe in a more suburban area. So they get a car, and they didn't have a car in college. Now they have a car, and they're working their first full-time job. they meet with you, what are the things, like, someone in that position who's never had to think about these things before, what are the, like, low-hanging fruit that you'd be like, all right, take care of, like, for example, like, renter's insurance, those types of things.
Yeah.
In that case study, what are you diving in at right away? Because to me, those are the people, like, I've been one of those,
yeah,
that really doesn't know what's going on, and coming to you is usually super helpful.
Yeah. Gosh, I wish I loved my onboarding cheat sheet when I first meet with someone that we hit on some things, ask them some base questions just to get to know them. First things that come to mind, like you said, first, renter's insurance. A lot of places, if you kind of live in like a corporate apartment complex, they probably require you to have renter's policy, and they probably require that you're naming like that condo company or the apartment company as like additional insured. You need to have it. It's usually super cheap. Most companies, it's like $200 to $300 a year. You need some personal liability if anyone ever gets hurt in your apartment. But more importantly, you need it for your stuff, for your belongings, your TVs, your clothes, your electronics. People can very quickly...
Jewelry? Yeah.
Jewelry. People can very quickly get to, oh my gosh, I have more stuff than I thought. And if that apartment ever gets... in a fire, that apartment company is not on the hook for any of your stuff. So that'd be kind of the first thing. Second thing is probably by then you're hopefully off your parents' auto insurance.
Don't be a mooch.
Yeah. And most insurance companies now are starting to do some more digging, investigating to try to boot kids off of insurance so that they're on their own. With that, do not just get bare bones coverage. Do not just get, you know, state minimum. If you ever get into a claim situation where if you really cause a lot of damage to someone else or a building, you're going to get your wages garnished. In Illinois, Illinois as a state will garnish people's wages in an insurance situation. So, I mean, let's say you hit someone, you hit a surgeon, you hit a doctor, they can't work for a year, they're making $400,000 a year. If your policy only covers like $100,000, okay, there's a $300,000 gap there. If you're 25, totally healthy, have a good job, they will come after you for the next however many years to garnish your wages.
Yeah.
So just making sure, hey, like you have a healthy amount of coverage, liability limits, property damage, bodily injury, comprehensive collision on your own car. So many times people are just like, just give me the cheapest coverage. I will say this in my 3 years of doing insurance. I feel like people are starting to get away from that and are starting to realize more like, hey, I need a little bit more coverage. If anything ever happens, like,
yeah,
I want the insurance company to start to pay for some things versus just me out of my own pocket.
For sure.
So I'd say that's kind of the second thing. The third thing would be something that most people don't realize, but I'm a big believer in it. I've done it personally. I also sell this as life insurance.
Yeah.
At that age, even if someone's single, they have no kids, they're probably pretty healthy. With life insurance, the time to buy it is when you're young and healthy. It may only be $300 to $400 per year. However, if you start like a 20 to 30 year policy, you can set your price until you're like 45 or 55. I see this happen all the time. People try to buy again in their mid to late 30s. They may have had a cancer scare. They may have diabetes. They may have gained weight.
Yeah.
Their price is going to go up substantially. They may not even be able to get coverage. However, if someone got coverage in their mid-20s, they either got it at a cheaper price so they have something. You can always buy more coverage later. So when you have kids, you get married, you know, you start a business, take out a big loan, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You can always get more coverage later on in life. But if you started coverage in your mid-20s for $200 to $300 a year, I guarantee it, when you are 35 or 40, you will look back and say, I'm glad I had that because I'm paying X for this and I'm paying way less for that. Or, heaven forbid, in that nightmare scenario, you cannot get coverage. You at least have something.
Yeah, that's so beautiful because in, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes, you just basically gave someone a speed cheat sheet on what to think about. And I think those are the people, that's a group of people that would definitely need it the most, right? And it's, yeah, the best time, just like you mentioned with that life insurance policy.
Yeah. And it's health insurance. A lot of people have health insurance through their employer, or they can stay on with their folks. I want to say until 26 now. So that could be a conversation too. Like, hey, if your employer doesn't offer it, you're going to get on your parents. You kind of need to do like some pre-planning for that. where in my area, what companies can I get covered with, just getting an idea of how much is this going to cost. And then just like kind of, hey, like here's how much it's going to cost. People can kind of mentally budget that. Or if they actually physically do a budget, like put it in your line item to understand like this is what it's going to be each month moving forward.
Sure.
So
that's the good stuff. That's the positive, giving someone a spiel, which is great early on. I've talked with you at many lunches and stuff. We've touched on this a little bit, but there are other insurance agents out there. There's other people out there that, there's, I mean, for a lack of a better word, they're trying to scam people that aren't educated on what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any like pieces of advice or things to look out for? If an insurance agent says this, it's a myth, or let be careful of these types of things for someone who's 25 and they're going to sit down with someone. Anything that you could think of, and maybe not, but just some BS out there to be aware of.
Yeah. I'd say I'll have a couple of different things. First thing, for like property casualty insurance, for like homeowners insurance right now, there's a big movement, especially in our Northern Illinois area. For like, everyone knows it. We have wind, we have hail, we have storms. Insurance companies are paying out like mad. So insurance companies are kind of like shifting policies where they're only going to offer like replacement cost coverage on people's homes for so many years.
Yeah.
Once someone's roof is over like a certain time frame, you're going to get what's called actual cash value coverage. So you're not going to get as much money in the claim. However, a lot of people don't realize that. Either their agent isn't telling them or like it's not strictly on their form. I've quoted two people in like the last 2 weeks. One guy was with Allstate. It literally said on his policy, you have X amount of coverage, and he had no idea.
Wow.
Now, that's kind of his own fault.
Like, he should read the form.
He should read the actual declaration.
But we all know that. A lot of people don't.
A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
And then there's this like a different situation where, again, if someone would have actually like read the declaration a little bit more, they would have saw it. So that's kind of the first thing. I believe as an agent, you at least need to let like people know, like, hey, like, it is what it is. And you can kind of make the decision from there. But almost every single company is doing it. It's really on the agent and the insurer to kind of just be aware of understanding, like, hey, if you have a claim, like, this entire roof's not going to get paid for. You'll get some coverage,
yeah,
but you're not going to get the full thing. That's kind of a big thing in, like, the home insurance world right now. The second thing, life insurance. A big trend in the last few years is called indexed universal life. It's a form of universal life insurance, but it's really a form of like a permanent life insurance policy. People hear all sorts of things about this, some good, some bad. I don't really think an IUL is really a bad thing. However, it can turn into a nightmare if it's not really, if it's sold incorrectly, if it's funded incorrectly, and the person selling it isn't explaining it.
Okay.
If it's being explained correctly and there's some realistic expectations,
and I think it's serving the right purpose.
The right purpose, yeah. But however, back to that kind of 25-year-old situation, some guy may be buying it from a college buddy, doesn't really know what it's going to do, doesn't really know how much he's going to have to put into it, and then like 4 or 5 years from now, he's like, oh my gosh, like I thought this was an investment, which it's not, and I'm paying way more into this than I could have for a term policy. So there's a lot of that too, where it's kind of being marketed as an investment because the performance is tied to an index. So that's kind of like the insurance company's way around it.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of people getting into it where they don't, I mean, you can get an actual illustration that shows you like, what's the cash value going to be? What's the death benefit going to be? What's my payment going to be 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now? But people don't even review that. People don't even understand that. They just kind of hear, oh, it does better than a term policy. It's not an investment, but it is an investment. So there's way too much vague things around it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of another thing. Whereas like, if it's really getting sold to them as an investment, like that's kind of like an immediate red flag. Don't do it. Whereas if it's really getting like disclosed to someone, like here's kind of some options, here's kind of a realistic expectation, that's a much better fit.
Okay.
But unfortunately that doesn't always happen.
Gotcha. Anything else you can think of? I was thinking of annuities. I didn't know if there was anything there with annuities.
Um,
like to know about? Is there anything like those? Because I feel like those have had a lot of scrutiny around them in terms of being sold improperly and like not for, to the, for the right purpose for the right person, right?
I would say that for sure too. I can help people with fixed annuities, variable annuities, or like fixed indexed annuities. Try our best whenever we do start an annuity with someone as like a very black and white expectation of like, here is your surrender charge. If you take money out of it within, you know, 2 years or 3 years, like here's the surrender period. So try our best with that. I haven't heard too many, you know, horror stories about happening to people. I really don't write too much for the variable annuities, but I know sometimes people are disappointed a couple years in once they realize kind of what like the ongoing expenses are versus like the return.
Yeah.
But again, it's just kind of, I would say most things insurance and investment related, the real problem where people get disappointed is when there wasn't a real good prior communication of setting the expectation of here's kind of a realistic thing.
Yeah.
That someone overpromised them or someone just...
And under-delivered.
Under-delivered, yeah. Or just flat out didn't even have the conversation. That's kind of the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, and annuity sales are on the rise over the last handful of years. I think as the baby boomer generation is getting older, they do want some money into annuities. Maybe just to not have that true stock market exposure. They don't want their entire portfolio yeah. going up or down.
Right.
But again, it's just setting that realistic expectation of here's how things are going to go.
Awesome. Two more questions before we kind of get into more fun stuff with rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Someone could be listening and thinking, man, I'm in college or I'm working and I've always wanted to, I've thought about being an insurance agent. Really don't know what every day looks like. What does a normal Tuesday in April at work look like for you? I know every day can be different, but what are you spending your time doing in an 8, 9, 10 hour day?
Sure. I'd say for me, typically early morning, policy renewals. If there's any big policy changes, I'll get like an alert through our automated system. So spend a little bit of time just reviewing like current policies. Hey, I need to contact this person. We need to look at their deductible. We need to look at their coverage. We can offer them something better. That takes up part of my day. Some ongoing prospecting. I send out some postcards. I do some email marketing. That's going to be like a portion of my day. I do have an assistant. She helps me with some of that.
She's very experienced too, right?
Yep. Yep. So I've been lucky. She's kind of been in the insurance world for like 10 years. I typically have like some sort of networking lunch like once per week and maybe that day meeting with a COI, whether it's a realtor, a mortgage person, someone else that's in business in town. That's kind of a good person to know.
Yeah.
I usually will have a few appointments throughout the week. So maybe one time per day, you know, for 30 minutes to an hour, we're meeting with somebody just reviewing their coverages. If they have questions, we always have people call in. So there's usually 2 to 3 calls per day. Someone will just have like a random question. Doesn't take a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
5 to 10 minutes. Hey, how are you? I need to do this. I need to change something with my policy.
Hey, I'm buying a Bronco. I don't know what the heck I'm doing. Please help me out. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Hey, I didn't know I didn't have auto pay. I need to pay my bill.
Yeah, stuff like
those
that.
Those are my calls.
stuff like that. So try to do a little bit of something each day. It's kind of like a good routine I found works better. Like, because like, if you spend too much time on like one subject or one thing, you kind of lose track of everything else.
Yeah.
So like, even like just like prospecting, like, I'm always prospecting for farmers. I'm always prospecting for homeowners. I'm always prospecting for like investment candidates. So just trying to have balance with that. I try to work out like every day. It's not always the case.
Yeah.
I haven't even touched on quoting. I'll get a couple calls a day for people calling in. Hey, I need a quote. I'm running quotes. My assistant's running quotes. Typically in the afternoon, I'm calling people back. Hey, here's your numbers. Here's your coverages. Here's what you are covered on. Here's what you're not covered on.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, yes. And there's following up with those people like the next day. So there's always this kind of like, there's always things you're just kind of doing, preparing for, you know, the next day's appointments, trying to spend like 20, 30 minutes per person. Like, hey, okay. If we have investments with them, here's how it's performed, here's some other options. If we just have, you know, home and auto insurance, reviewing their coverages, reviewing their rebuild evaluation, is there anything we can do deductible wise to save them some money? So it's just kind of like an ongoing, like, today planning for tomorrow, preparing for tomorrow.
Did that evolve, like, when you first started? Because you kind of touched on, if you stay in one area, like, let's just say you came in Monday and all you did was prospecting, right?
Yeah,
clearly you're going to take care of the one-off calls, but you just did prospecting, and then Tuesday you do quoting, right? Whatever. But did you start off kind of on that type of track and then realize, you know what, this isn't working, I'm going to kind of do a little bit of everything every day? Or did that evolve, and did you figure that out along
for
the
sure
way?
For sure it's evolved.
Maybe your dad gave you that advice, I don't know.
To an extent, yeah. He's always been big on, like 5 calls a day, five reach outs a day.
Yeah.
Just, like, to make sure you're always prospecting. It's for sure evolved over time. When I first started, I took over like part of an existing book of business. So I spent a lot of time reviewing that, just reviewing coverages, get to know people. I don't have to do that as much now,
yeah,
just because I've really gotten like familiar with that. And we've reviewed a lot of things. So a lot of that seemed like a really good situation. But more so just like the prospecting, like you can't waste the whole day on one campaign. Like I may have 2 to 3 campaigns going on for different things. So just like a little bit of time each day on each thing, and you just do it each day, it adds up.
It adds up for sure.
So yeah, that's for sure shifted over time, just to try to be like as efficient as you can with what you're doing.
Okay, rapid fire, and here we go. Favorite game to play with your daughter?
Hide and seek.
Ooh, good. Okay, who's funnier, you or your wife?
Brittany's much funnier than me.
MJ or LeBron?
That's not really a question.
He means MJ, I think. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, this one you got to pay attention. Brady or any other quarterback? All-time best.
Talk to me in 5 years.
Okay, I think, like where he's leaning.
I think Mahomes could be better.
Okay.
But Brady for now.
He's on Mahomes on that trajectory. Best dinner meal that your wife makes?
She makes a really good like cheese quesadilla, taco quesadilla. That's
awesome.
Good.
Shout out to your wife. City that you'd love to visit for the first time. Any city in the world.
I like to go to Tokyo, Japan.
Black or white socks?
Oh, white socks.
Alright. Favorite holiday of the year?
4th of July.
Best TV show you've ever seen?
Breaking Bad.
Okay. If you could go back and play one more game of one of these, would it be in basketball or football? You wake up tomorrow and it's Friday night. Are you playing a basketball game or are you playing a football game?
Basketball game.
Name a 4-letter word that starts with a B.
Boat.
Ooh, what an insurance agent. Bedtime.
Oh, God. 9, 8:39, somewhere in there.
Something outside of work. One subject that you'd love to just spend time learning way more about than you know right now, but not work-related.
I'd say like just basketball, just like getting more involved in it.
Okay. You could transform into any animal. Which animal are you choosing?
I like to be a hawk.
Oh, look at that. Here we go. Travel back in time to any historic event. Could be sporting, whatever, but it's historic. What historic event would you travel back in time and see? I got it.
I don't know.
This is a good one. I'm happy you're thinking.
There's too many options. I think it would have been like pretty cool like to be in New York Times Square when they announced like World War II was over.
Okay.
So whatever that day was in 1945, just to see like how everyone reacted.
Dude, great job. Those were good. Your wife's going to be happy that you had a favorite meal. He had so many he was thinking about, I could tell, when I asked that question. Before we let you go, mm-hmm, we always have a closing question. So we did all these fun trivia questions. There's always a closing question. And my closing question for you is, name the 3 best athletes that you've ever watched. All time.
Like,
top 3.
Like in person?
TV, in person, anything. Pro athletes, by the way. Let's go pro athletes. We'll keep it very specific.
Pro athletes. I did watch Tiger Woods golf when I was like 9 or 10 in Florida. So that was like prime Tiger Woods. So he'd probably be one.
Was it like just watching him play like a real tournament?
Yeah,
or
it was one of them. It was a major tournament somewhere. It may have been the Players, I think. So I've seen Tiger golf in person.
Was he on point that day? I don't know if you're old enough to remember.
I don't know if he won it or not. He was like 8 or 9. Well, I was like 8 or 9. And it was actually, I don't know if you remember this name, a guy named Payne Stewart.
I don't know.
He tragically passed away like the very next week on a plane. So I saw him play his like last tournament.
Oh wow.
I have seen LeBron play basketball. That was pretty cool. I take that back. He didn't play. He was doing load management. He was out that day.
Oh, he was out.
This is a random one. I wouldn't say this is like probably not. So like I worked for the football team in Illinois when I was down there. So yeah. I got to watch like a lot of in-person football. Probably the second most impressive athlete I've ever seen was Terrell Pryor run.
Oh wow, yeah.
Do you remember Terrell Pryor?
I do remember Terrell Pryor.
He was like, he was so fast, but he didn't look fast because he was 6'6". But he would just like run. He was so much like, his strides got so much like gain on people compared to everyone else.
Like, it's not fast feet, it's those long strides, yes. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a horse.
Yeah. And then third, I've seen Mike Trout play baseball.
Oh, where'd you watch Mike?
Just Wrigley Field.
Oh, okay.
So you've seen
some athletes, damn.
Yeah. So just how strong, how powerful, how explosive he was. And I think like he just had like a normal game. I don't think he had a home run or anything.
I really do admire how consistent you are with putting someone on your schedule for business development, going to things in the community. You're an awesome person for the Belvedere community, and we're just grateful for you, man. So
yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah. All right, now we will officially let you get out of here and enjoy your Saturday. Thanks for stopping by.
No, thanks for having me.
You bet, brother.